This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
We say things that don't mean anything, but thanks for listening. Yeah.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to We Say Things, episode 93. Stuntsman here with Cinderin. And we have a very special episode. But first, Cinderin, how are you doing on this loveliest of days?
I am doing great, Shannon. I couldn't believe it. You know, sometimes you have this thing where your body knows that you're supposed to wake up and you wake up right before.
Yeah,
actually. I woke up like 5 minutes before the alarm I had set. Because of that, I don't feel like I'm not so tired. And I woke up with like a big fart, you know, those are like the best ones. Then you just like, then you're there. So
I thought you were going to say erection, but it actually improved itself. So good.
No. I don't say inappropriate stuff on the podcast, Shannon. Don't.
Excellent. I really appreciate it. So before I get to the Patreon shout outs, I actually want to do this first. For those that are watching on YouTube, the episode name is going to be a bit clickbaity. It says it's the final episode ever. And again, we said this last week, but in case you missed it, this will be the final episode we ever post on Dota Cinema YouTube channel. For this episode, it will be on both the Dota Cinema channel and our new channel, which you can see is down on the bottom right, youtube.com/WeSayThings. So be sure to subscribe to that YouTube channel. If you want to learn why we're doing that, you can listen to last week's episode. Just keep in mind, if you listen to audio, if you watch on Twitch, nothing is changing. Absolutely nothing is changing. It's only for YouTube watchers. So please subscribe to the new channel, because next week it won't be on Dota Cinema. So this is your time to do so. Also,
do it.
Want to announce that, and I, you know, it's funny. I'm making this announcement. I haven't even talked to Cinderin about it yet, but we're announcing a new schedule. So typically this is on Tuesdays, and I know a lot of people have gotten used to that, and I appreciate it. But on episode 100, we'll probably announce a new schedule going forward, after like for 101 and beyond, that makes more sense for what Valve is currently doing, which what they're currently doing is waiting for our podcast to be released and then having some massive update. So my question, and you guys can leave your comments in the YouTube comments for either channel, what day do you prefer? It's on Tuesday, so we'll have to be later. Is a Thursday good? Is a Friday good? Whatever. Let us know if there's any difference at all. I know a lot of people like Tuesday because, well, nothing happens on Tuesdays. So, which apparently is why we're changing it.
You can also write #FuckSansFanMonday if you would like Monday.
Yeah, if you'd like the podcast to be even more about not new news, like if something happens on the weekend, we'll let you know. But Monday would be the literal worst day. So with that in mind, let's say thank you to our beautiful patrons from the In Bruges tier. I'll let you take the first half this time, buddy.
Oh, we've got some renames. Oh, we've got a lot of renames. What the hell? What's going on? We've got Telkontar Prime, or Telkontar. My wife doesn't understand why I have a picture of Cinderin on my nightstand. I understand, don't worry. Topless in mosh pits, but wearing my posh mitts.
Very good.
Suns fan, thanks for recommendation of Way of Kings. It was fantastic. I'm now into book two. Cheers. Don't forget about Wizards Fur. Okay, he's been into book two for a while, and
Well, they're really long. They're like, I think they're like 2,000 pages. So,
okay. Then we've got Chakar Boyko Ustav Kamutro, the Mega Pope. He looked like he had a sore leg. Perhaps we should fix it for him. TI in New Zealand. Zan Xavier, Suns fan Pudge Omega Lol. Nate Thicko 01 Ham Scroats. Bacon, no, not that bacon, the other bacon. Obliterating my penis like I'm Pangolier spamming my Q on a stack of neutral creep.
That is the best name you've come up with. Congratulations, sir. Winner, winner. Chicken dinner. Beautiful.
Lick and Shark TM, and you get the more appropriate half, I guess.
All right. If you, whoever's changing their name every time with the Pangolier penis thing, if you could keep that up for next week, because I will read the first half, and I would appreciate reading that for myself. Did you say freshly seasoned goat balls? Sorry.
I did not.
Well, thank you to him. Also, thank you to the Ben Jackson and Ben Broomhead Alliance. Novi Panda, Dop, Eating Chosneck Makes You Happy and Healthy, underscore man, the one and only. Cinderin has defeated the Ben Alliance in an outstanding show of cunning and bravery. We are terribly disappointed in you all. He always wins, no matter what. Pitch Black, Wooden Aftertaste, Duntalk, The Coward, Dyslexic Lawyer, Anonymous, Peter, insert insightful comment, Nebling, Ronnie Keel. Thank you, friends. We appreciate it. All right, Cinderin. We have first topic of the week that, of course, was it happened the day after our podcast, as per norm. There is a Netflix anime called Dota Dragon's Blood. It will be releasing March 25th. As of this recording, the announcement has come out. The teaser trailer has come out, which was on the 19th, and the main trailer will be on March 1st. So I guess that'll be the day after our podcast next week. Perfect timing. And of course, the premiere, March 25th. So we'll talk about specifics in a minute here, but what was your reaction to a Dota anime?
So I was just playing, and then I hadn't checked my Twitter for like an hour or something, and I tab over and I'm like, what the fuck is happening? There's like all these people just talking about something that came literally out of nowhere. I don't know. Nobody had any idea this was coming. And then I got really excited, right? Because for a couple of reasons. First of all, for what it means for our game, right? It's in a way, or in reality, probably, this is the biggest advertisement Valve have ever done for this game, at least since the first TI, right? When they put out the trailer for Dota 2 in general. Yeah, they haven't ever really promoted the game in any way since, except with just TI being TI. So that's super exciting. I'm not too big of an anime watcher myself. I haven't really watched much, but I'm still, you know, it's a story about Dota. So, of course, I'm excited about the story and what happens and everything, the plot, the characters. And then finally, I think also it makes people, myself included, a little more hopeful about just the future of Dota in general, because this, it's like, I think a lot of people were in a position with Dota where they felt like Valve was going to care less and less about it over time, and we were going to reach a point where they weren't really supporting the game much anymore. And a lot of people with good reason have felt like that has started happening a couple of years ago. But this kind of is the biggest investment Valve have made into this game for a long time. Making a show like this is expensive. Like, you don't just get off from this for like small amounts of money. So
wait, what? What are you talking about?
Huh?
What are you talking about? What do you think did in this scenario, Cinderin? Am I misunderstanding what happened?
What do you mean?
Other people wrote it and other people animated it. They probably just gave their okay. I don't know if they actually did anything. Is there any?
Do you not think Valve were invested in this?
No, I mean.
Do you think other people just asked for the rights from Valve and they got them, and then it was free for Valve?
I have no idea.
Do you think so?
Knowing Valve, yeah, that's what I think. I mean, is there any information to the contrary?
There is. I mean, that was just my interpretation of it, was that this was something Valve had quote unquote outsourced to have a show on Netflix.
Okay, so if they outsourced it, what did they do then? Right.
How do you mean?
You mean they funded it? Is that what you're saying? Because that's definitely possible.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's what I thought. Perhaps I'm completely wrong here. Like, I don't know. Like, we're just guessing, right? Nobody really knows, but
I mean,
that's what I thought
definitely
when this came out. I was like, damn, yeah, this is a big move from Valve to have a studio make this. Because look at it from a different perspective. If you were an animation studio that was looking to make a success on Netflix, why the hell would you make one about Dota? Like, who would think that this would be the next big story that could sell, right?
Well, Netflix do a lot of different shows, first of all, and a lot of weird ones too. I mean, their biggest one of their biggest movies or series, I should say, of the year is about chess, for God's sake. So, like, that's having another it's a bit of a revival there. I mean, and the other thing we have to talk about is the Riot series that's coming out at some point. Mm-hmm. So this is competition to that. This has apparently been in the works for 2 years. Like, let's say Valve invested money into it, and obviously that's amazing. Mm-hmm. We don't know if that's actually true, but there's no evidence to say that they wrote anything or did anything with the animation, because those studios have already been announced what they are, right?
Right. So, yeah. Like, I'm not implying that Valve are putting in the hours of work, but rather that they were putting in the investment and that they were looking to do something like this. And again, this was my hopeful perspective, that this is also like not just a community has been, you know, complaining or wanting something more out of the game for a very long time. We've only really had the game, and then we've had some comics, but not really much that explores the world very much. So that this was kind of a big step. But if your way of looking at it is true, then I'm a little bit disappointed, because I thought a lot of the initiative here comes from Valve. But yeah, neither of us know, so that's just speculation, right?
Yeah.
No, either way, it's fucking cool, and I hope it's good for the game. And that's still the number one main thing, is what is this going to do for player base, for people's engagement with the game, for how much they care about the game. And it's always going to be a huge selling point in, you know, overall gaming news, right? You reach people that haven't heard about the game or didn't think it was this big or blah, blah, blah. So that's kind of...
So the coolest thing for, I shouldn't say the coolest. One of the cool things about it is the studio that animated it, which I'm going to talk about a pro and a con here. The pro is they have some history with, so I talked about before, I'm not a big anime guy. First of all, we can talk about the word anime, because that's actually an interesting discussion of itself. But like, I've seen a couple different animes. One of them I liked, which is Sword Art Online, at least part of it I liked. And the newest one that I really liked a lot, which I recommended on the show already, was Avatar The Last Airbender, which is also on Netflix, I believe. And then the follow-up to it was Legends of Korra, which is made by this same studio. And I'm in the middle of watching that. I've been watching it for a couple months now. That's also very, very good. So that's awesome that, like, a studio that I've already enjoyed watching, even though I'm not a big anime guy, is doing this. Having said that, what the fuck is up with the noses, Sindarin? That actually bought... I wouldn't have even noticed, probably, until there was a Reddit thread about it. Now I can't unsee it. What? There's like a random line. What is that?
Isn't that something that you... Or I don't know if you do that in general, but to me, it's just there to add depth, right?
Really?
Yes. If that line isn't there, the noses will look weird in a different way. I think it's there to make it more, like, three-dimensional, if that makes sense.
I mean, okay. So
I don't think the line is just there by chance, or that somebody's like, hey, wouldn't it be funny if all the characters just had a line at their nose, you know? Like,
obviously, I'm going to watch...
That would be pretty cool, actually.
I'm going to watch the entire series, obviously, and I'm probably going to like it a lot, but I will say, just based on the trailer, the way that it looks... The visual aspect to it is not nearly as good as like Legends of Korra for me, like my personal aesthetic taste. But having said that, let's talk about what's in the game right now, because once you open the game, it has a big splash page there.
Yep.
It says, Dragon Knight and Mirana face demons and gods with unexpected allies in this all-new anime series premiering on Netflix. Discover heroes both old and new as Dota 2 comes to life like never before. So, before we get into the characters, because that's obviously fascinating, we'll talk about the credits. The word anime, this is like the most... I was just talking about this with my stream before we started recording. It's a very interesting word, because the definition, it just... Everybody thinks it's a different thing, right? So I think technically speaking, the word anime just means Japanese animation. It could be anything. There's no... The genre doesn't matter. It can be a comedy, whatever the fuck. So it's technically the same as a cartoon, because in the I don't know how you guys have it, but in the U.S., cartoon is like South Park stop motion, but Family Guy, Archer, all these shows are cartoons. It could be adult, it could be for kids. There's no really in between. So the word anime technically means the same thing, but I feel like the Western audience, sometimes there's like a negative connotation with that. Do you feel like that's true at all?
I mean, I think a lot of it is part of it's like the meme, right? Of it's become this, especially on Twitch, I think it's become this big thing with, and that might also be why we have the perception that we do, that anime can be perceived as something negative, but the way I see it, a lot of the time that people talk about it, it's kind of like a meme of being against the weebs or whatever, you know. And then I think in part because, like you said, it is cartoon style, and then a lot of the plots or a lot of the stories might feel like they're for a younger audience than the ones that watch them, right? But who cares? If it's a good story, it can be interesting to watch. Like, I think most people are quote unquote guilty, if you want to call it that, of watching something that's for an age group younger than themselves. And that's not a problem. And I think anime has just embraced that and made stories that both 14-year-olds and 30-year-olds can enjoy in the same way. So I kind of get what you mean that there's a negative connotation, but I think a really big part of it is honestly just memes. And that people don't really care as much as they might sound like. Does that make sense?
I kind of agree. I think there's definitely some people that look at it as a negative, though.
I mean, of course. If you chose the word, think about it this way. Replace anime series with cartoon. Do you think that would be better or worse?
Well, first of all,
Because then it sounds like it's for kids, right?
Okay, you could say adult cartoon, right?
You could say animated series, I guess, instead of anime series.
That's true. Animated series.
That would probably be my favorite, I guess, animated series. But isn't that kind of just an anime?
Yeah. I don't give a shit. Like, it doesn't matter to me. It's just, I know that some people might get turned off by it. But then again, this is Dota. If you play Dota, you're probably going to watch it. Like, let's be real.
Yeah.
So we can talk about so many different aspects to this. It's probably the longest segment in history of the podcast, but let's first talk about the characters, okay?
Before we do that, can I talk about the wording of what it says here? Because Valve has this thing sometimes where they put in, I don't want to say Easter eggs, but where their wordings or, you know, previous hero announcements or whatever tease something new. Mm. It says in this the final line of this thing says, discover heroes both old and new as Dota 2 comes to life like never before. That could mean, I mean, first of all, this means there's new heroes. So then the question is, do they get ported to the game or are they just a part of this story? I'm very hopeful, basically, that at least one new character that shows up in the show will be in the game. That would just be a very logical and smart way of doing things, right? Hype people up for that new hero and then you can play it. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. But also with the game Dota 2 coming to life like never before, do you think there's anything hinted at like something bigger there than just the show itself? Like, are Valve going to try to make Dota 2 come to life, not just through the show, but also through the game itself? Like changing up the map, you know, putting in more effort than they have recently with just having a lively population, right? Like, are they going to put in more content in the game to connect with this Dragon's Blood series so that people that try out the game are like, holy shit, this game's amazing. Think there could be like a special event,
right?
You know, something like that. I think Valve are missing a huge opportunity if they don't do something special in the game, like truly special in connection with this coming out. Like, that's just, it's the most blatantly obvious time to make some really fucking cool content in the game, right? You're not going to get a better time than this. This is better than TI in many ways to make something cool. So,
yeah. And the whole new player experience, right? This is going to be a totally separate topic that will follow this discussion. So we're just going to hold off on all comments relating to that. Okay, you ready for some character analysis?
Yeah.
What do you want to call it? Okay, so the main character is Dragon Knight. So what was your first reaction, and has your reaction changed since? Like, do you like that? Because I have an opinion about it.
That he was the choice of character or how he is?
Yeah, because you can choose any character. Like, there's 115, whatever the hell, heroes now, right? Plus all these new ones that are going to be introducing, supposedly. Dragon Knight.
I think it's a pretty good choice. I don't know too much about the lore of the game, so I can't tell you like how amazing the other characters' stories are compared to Dragon Knights or whatever, but for like a standard, I don't know if you would call it standard, but just for like a story arc, I think the character should be a pretty good fit. I'm trying to think of who else I would have chosen for a series like this from Dota.
Yeah, who would you have chosen?
I'm trying to think about it. Like, if there was an easily better choice just off the top of my head to tell a story about.
So Like, I think that the Dragon Knight lore, which I guess I can just say, this isn't, like, I don't know if they're going to follow the lore exactly, but from my memory, it's basically, and this is like a Slacks thing, right? He'll know all this lore backwards and forward, but effectively, Dragon Knight is a Dragon Knight. Obviously, there's a bunch of Dragon Knights, and he's not even the best. Kaidan, which we'll get to as a future character and potential hero, is the best Dragon Knight, according to the lore. And our Dragon Knight, Davian, by the way, that's how you pronounce his name. That's weird, but
I always thought it was Davian.
I always thought like it was Dave. Davian as well. Davian, he was, what was the story? Something to the effect of there was a dragon that was dying and he didn't want to kill it because it didn't seem fair or something like that. And the dragon asked him to kill him. So he did so. And then as he was doing it, the dragon like infused his powers or something into Dragon. And that's how he became an actual half dragon, half man.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking about the character in general, and it's at first I was like, it's kind of a boring character. You know, there's so many cool heroes in Dota. You could have chosen another one. And I was thinking about it some more. It's actually the perfect hero to have as your main guy. You know, because you want somebody that's somewhat relatable. You don't want anything like too crazy. Like, think of it this way. If you put in a fucking weird hero, like OD or like half the heroes in Dota, basically, I think it might turn off a certain segment. Like, we're trying to attract newer people, right? It's not just about entertainment, the current audience. So I think Dragon Knight, and everybody knows what the fuck a dragon is.
It's a pretty relatable character.
Huge disappointment. Right? Yeah, very relatable. So I think
when I get angry, I also turn into a dragon. So I have it in me too. I would imagine a lot of other people can like.
Yeah.
I mean, I spit fire sometimes.
I guess sure. Your insults are fire, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think this is actually a really good choice. You could call it safe, and I think that's definitely fair.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's a negative at all. Okay. What about Luna and Mirana? They were both in the trailer.
Yeah.
The teaser.
Wait.
Teaser trailer.
Huh. Luna looks like. Is this so? The image that you're showing. I don't know. You're not showing it on. You're not showing it on the video right now, right? Or are you?
What?
Okay.
I'm not showing it.
Does Luna look like this, or is this the wrong image?
Which image?
So the one you've linked in the outline, right? With the characters. Just like the actors, the voice actors, and then there's the characters.
Oh, you mean the,
like
the one
Davion,
that's in-game?
Then there's Mirana, Slyrek, Invoker, Luna, etc., etc.
Hmm.
Is this what Luna looks like in the trailer? Did I just miss this image where Luna was in this scene?
I don't remember. Yeah, we're looking at like a red, like a reddish image of her.
Yeah, okay. I think, so it seems like they're staying relatively true to the voices, right? It's not the same voice actors for anything else than, I think, is it Slyrek being Tony Todd? Everyone else is a new voice actor than the ones in the game, is that correct?
I can't say for sure, but yeah,
I think
Tony
both Luna, Mirana, and Invoker are different voice actors than the heroes are.
Okay.
Which, if that's the case, maybe I'm wrong, but if that's the case, they're obviously going to sound different to the ones in the game. They're not going to be one-to-one, but... I think for the bit of voice that we heard was pretty good, or was good, rather. And I think my favorite new depiction of a character that we already have is probably Mirana. I actually think like her face and the way she looks in the show hopefully translates into the game. Because that's something people have been complaining about for eons, right? Is how Mirana looks in the game.
See,
she has this face like she doesn't even want to be there.
This would be a good opportunity to remodel some of these heroes, right? And there's some speculation that's going to happen. So,
Mirana looks cool in the show.
So yeah, to keep this in mind, so the guy that's voicing Dragon Knight, Davian, is Yuri Lowenthal, okay? And then Slyrek, which is the Ember Eldworm, is Tony Todd, which is the voice of Dragon Knight in Dota itself.
Yes.
So we're assuming when they merge, if that's actually probably going to happen, I would assume... it's going to be his voice when he's the dragon or whatever. So, Mirana, Luna, pretty cool choices. Because they both have like their own, like an edge to them, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Invoker, who's voiced by Troy Baker. So based on like the trailer, it looked like, I'm trying to remember what, even what was in this trailer. It was like the Dragon Knight or Davian or whatever with Morana and Luna, kind of. They're like on the same team, I assume. So who's the bad guy? Like Invoker seemed like he was a good guy based on what I saw, right? But we know that Invoker is,
that's something
is
about
like,
this trailer, right? It doesn't really establish a villain.
Right.
So we don't really know who.
But Invoker's definitely not a good guy, right? If anything, he's neutral. And if I would say he probably errs on the side of evil.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even think about that. Like most trailers in some way establish what the fight is for. And this one hasn't really.
So Chad is saying Underlord is the villain. So I saw Underlord. I'm like, oh, cool. Underlord's going to be in this. And I look at all the comments and everybody said it wasn't Underlord. So I don't know.
I thought it was Necrophos.
What?
But maybe I didn't watch very closely.
Okay. Anyway, based on the characters that we have established already being in the show, let's go through them. So Invoker, a very cool choice for a hero because we don't really know. I'm getting this from Slacks mostly. We don't
really
know.
I keep saying trailer, by the way. It's only the teaser, right?
Right. So we don't know much about Invoker. Like Invoker doesn't, like the lines in the game, he doesn't ever even talk to anybody. So he has no relationship with any heroes that we know. So it's going to be cool to see him and just talking to other people, I guess.
Maybe he'll not say a word on the show. He's just there casting spells. Yeah. Like get into this hairy situation. Invoker's just there fixing it and then he leaves.
And then we have Selimene, who is the goddess of the moon. That's the hero that Luna like worships. And that's an interesting one because, I'm not a big lore guy, but in Artifact, Selimene is in the game. God, that card is brutal. And her art is like, it's very, I don't know how to explain it. It's like a blue faded, you can't really see. It's like a silhouette. And this one is clearly just a woman. Like it's a goddess, but it's not like a silhouette. There's nothing, you know, being hidden here. So that's pretty interesting to see that complete change. And this is one of the things that's going to be most interesting of all is how much they keep to like Dota lore, how much they just do their own thing, right?
Yes.
I don't know if Valve gets to okay everything. Like who knows what the actual arrangements are. And then there's some side characters named Fimrin, Dreisi, Bram, and then the big one for me is Caden, who I mentioned, who is like the best Dragon Knight there is. He actually has an item in Underlords, if you remember, called Caden's Blade. It's like this purple bladey thing that does like pure damage or something like that, which I thought they'd put into Dota.
Not only that, but he's voiced by a person whose last name is Mount. That is commitment to the character. They were
Anson,
like, who can we get?
Mount. That's true. That is actually
that's a
so
fucking
true.
Knight right there. If your last name is Mount in real life, you're a knight.
Okay, and then this is the most interesting character of all. The voice actor is named J.B. Blanc or Blank, and his character is just blacked out and it's redacted. So this could mean one of two things. So a lot of people's theory is that it's a new hero coming to Dota with this launch, which I didn't even think of it first. I'm like, oh, that actually could
really?
Be.
Really? That was the only thing I've thought of so far.
So it could be a new hero. I mean, again, but Caden could be a new hero. So why? Because this is probably a character we've at least heard of, I would assume. So we can talk about that possibility. But the second possibility is that it's the actual villain that's already in Dota. They just don't want to spoil that he's going to show up, right? Which heroes that first came to my mind are like Wraith King was one of the first. Necrophos, which you already mentioned, is the second. And then the third, even though I think he's less, I don't know. His lore is just so grand in nature. Arc Warden is one of those heroes that could definitely
be. So why
like
could it
this.
Not be Underlord?
It could be Underlord as well, sure.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's either a villain that they just don't want to spoil or it's a new hero. Which one do you think is more likely?
I think it's the new hero. That would be my guess. But yeah, I mean, the other thing is definitely a possibility. So, I didn't even think about that option. I mean, maybe it's...
Well, look at the characters right now. Like, we just mentioned all the characters. None of them are, like, purely evil. Invoker has the potential to be, but we have no villain right now. So, either the new hero is the villain.
So, if it was the evil green guy or whatever it is that was in the teaser trailer for, like, 1 second.
Right.
If it's that guy, it's already been in the teaser trailer. Then you could have announced that there, right?
Right. Which
so it's probably not that character,
right? To me, that means that that wasn't, even though it looked exactly like him, it's not Underlord apparently, because there's no reason not to put him in this, the credits, right? So I don't know. It's interesting. Like, there's a lot of speculation, obviously, and we won't know for another month.
Wait, what if it's backwards, Shannon? What if this is a clue that he's voicing a hero that is getting deleted from the game?
Because his name is JB Blank?
No, because it's redacted, right? So he's voicing Techies, but Techies will not be in Dota anymore. So he's it's redacted.
He's voicing all three characters.
Oh my god. You know what? If that is if anything could make me more excited about that show, there it is.
You know, the new player experience, and
remove Techies with the redacted.
New Valve is like, you know what? We don't want to make a new player experience. Let's just delete Techies and make the new player experience better just by doing that. I think
that's already an improvement. That's improving the player experience, not the new player experience.
Yeah, true. Okay. So, what else is there to talk about the show?
We didn't really talk much about Fimra and Drizzy, did we? Or Bram?
I don't know. Aren't these just side characters? I don't know if they're anything special.
Oh, so Bram is Davion's squire, right? So you would imagine he's at least playing a pretty, like, usually in these shows where there's a main character, he's kind of probably going to be like a sidekick. I would imagine he gets a lot of screen time. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong. Like, he's obviously in the second row of characters, so maybe he's like less priority than I think. But a lot of the time, the squire in like stories actually take up a pretty big part. So. But don't know. And then Fimran and Drizzy, are they in the Dota lore, or have they been introduced here?
I don't know. You know what? I should have done this at the beginning. I apologize. I'm actually just going to put the image that we've been looking at this whole time on screen so you guys can look at it briefly. And then we'll switch topics and then you won't be able to see it again. There we go. Very nice.
In terms of faction, right? Drizzy has elf ears. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what is it this not in picture means? This means that this image that they're showing here in the announcement was not in the teaser trailer.
Oh, I didn't even see that. That's true. What is that? That's weird.
That isn't that what it has to mean, that this character is not in the picture that you've seen so far, but everyone else is?
Okay, so yeah, that just
means... Was Caden in the teaser trailer?
I don't remember.
Oh, I don't know.
But keep in mind, this is not like, I don't know if this is actually just an official, excuse me, post or whatever, but this is Wickram's tweet. I should have mentioned that as well.
So right.
He probably put this together
himself. That's as close as something gets to official from Valve.
Right. So he probably just scraped these images from the teaser, I guess, or whatever he's seen. So, yeah, mm-hmm. That could definitely be the case. But the redacted, obviously, is the big omission, and it's on purpose. We know it's a male character. I guess we can probably assume that. The guy does have a beard, the actor.
Yep.
I mean, maybe he's voicing a female. Who knows? He might have a really... Might be Slax as a voice actor, you know? Could be doing the woman's voice, so...
Looks like Slax.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's definitely going bald as well, so... might line up nicely. Okay, any character that you think... this is something we can talk about. So this is season one. We don't know if there's going to be a season two. We know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Are you disappointed that a specific hero is not listed here? Because I don't know if it fits into the storyline. I don't know what the storyline even is based on, you know, just the little lore that we have available from these heroes. But the first hero that pops in my mind is Pudge. I hope he makes some sort of appearance. That would be really cool. I don't think he could be the villain. Like, that would be a really stupid main villain for a show. But just like a side character would be awesome, you know? Any hero for you?
I'm just thinking the plot. It's like Dragonite is on a quest and he gets hooked and dismembered, the end. That's it.
It's just like a cameo.
I don't know. I haven't really thought about it that much, and honestly, I find it kind of hard, especially until I've seen any of the show. It's just hard for me to be disappointed that something isn't there, because I had no expectation at all that this would ever exist to begin with.
True.
It's like, if Valve had said, hey, we're going to make a Dota show in the next year, we're working on something big that's going to come out, an animated series, then people can like start making up their own stories in their heads about what's going to be there and what it is. But since there's like no reference whatsoever, I don't know. I can't really be disappointed. Does that make any sense to you? Like, I don't know. You see this announcement and then you're like, I wish this character was there, but well, that doesn't,
I'm
the
not
fact
asking,
that it isn't announced doesn't mean it's not there.
Maybe the wording is okay.
These are just the main characters.
You take everything so literally. Let me reword.
That's how I am.
Not being disappointed. Forget about that part. All right. Is there any hero you hope will be in the show, Sindarin?
Give me a sec. I'm looking over the hero list.
Thank you.
Who would be really cool to have?
I think another one that comes to mind for me is Rubik. Kind of goes hand in hand with Invoker to some
degree.
Yeah,
Rubik would be cool. I hope they have Rubik's a cool Abaddon. I think he has...
That could be a villain. Yeah, that's a
He could be part of the villain ship, and he has a really fucking cool voice. If they manage to mimic that in the show, that's going to be a really cool evil character.
So the evil character that I hope it's not is Doom, because that is as generic as fuck as it gets.
Yeah.
Right? That's very boring. Like, I think the villain can be a little bit more out there than the main protagonist, which is Dragonite. Like, I don't think you play it mega safe like that.
Did you mention Lion as a villain?
No, but did, God, I hope that hero just never gets made into a cartoon.
Oh, man, I want Lion to be in there and be really strong and just fucking trigger you.
Yeah, then all the new players get to play Lion.
Yeah,
and,
that's my hope. My hope is Lion is in there and that he casts Mana Drain every episode.
So how long do you think this is going to take for you to watch the whole season, Sindarin? Am I going to have to ask you every week?
I mean, how long do we think it is?
That's true. I mean, typically Netflix shows are like 10 episodes.
10 episodes of half an hour, right? So like 5 hours?
Yeah, probably.
I think I'll be watching it together with Susie, so I guess we'll watch like an episode or two a day, so a week.
How is that possible? Am I the weird one here? Okay, apparently it's 8 episodes. Am I the weird one here that will literally just watch all 8 episodes all at once? Back to back.
No,
I will,
that's not weird. I
night.
Think a lot of people will do that. A lot of people binge watch shows like that. But when we watch stuff together, we generally watch for like an hour, maybe an hour and a half. I think the longest we've ever watched a show in a row together was 2 Game of Thrones episodes, maybe 3, but I don't remember if we did.
I don't know this for certain, but let me just get rid of this image now. Netflix in general, when they say something comes out on a certain day, it typically means, I'm trying to remember if it was Eastern or Pacific. Either way, it's usually U.S. time, midnight, and then it's just released. I think it's Eastern normally.
Okay.
So
U.S.
me,
midnight would be European morning. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll see if that ends up being the case. Okay. So what kind of impact do you genuinely think that this anime will have for our player base? Do you actually think that there will be an influx of new players coming in?
Yes.
A lot?
I do.
Like,
I don't know. Define a lot.
10?
Yeah, I think a lot.
I mean, The Witcher, I don't know the numbers for The Witcher, but I'm sure they got a shit ton of players.
They did. It was a huge boom for The Witcher.
Now, this is an anime, so I think, especially in the Western scene, it probably won't have as big of an impact as a Henry Cavill, who is a fucking I'm attracted to women, but I'm attracted to him a little bit too. I'm not gonna lie, he's very good looking, and he's into computers.
Oh my god,
he's the dreamboat, man. He's the dreamboat.
Damn, I'm into computers too and good looking. Why is it not me?
No, you just don't have big enough biceps, and your penis is probably too small. But anyway,
I'll work on it.
Need to circumcise that thing. Anyway, so you think it's going to have a big impact then on the player base?
I think so. Like, I don't know what your expectations are. If you would say a big increase would be like 5%, 10%, 20%, 30%, whatever. But it's also not only about new players. I think it's the thing that happens when something like this comes out is that it gets people talking, right? So even just the announcement of something like this and that it comes out will probably make people more likely to introduce their friend to the game, and therefore not only the friend plays, but they are now back to playing themselves if they were on break, because the friend who's excited to try out the game will want someone to play with. So then you suddenly have 2 people playing, one which is new and one is a returning player.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said at the start of this episode, imagine if there was a really cool story that you could play in the game that tied in with the story that you watched. That would be a huge sales point to get somebody excited and interested about playing the game.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's my biggest hope. And honestly, that would be my disappointment in this scenario is if Valve don't take advantage of it inside Dota. Like if the show ends up not being that great or the story is a little bit flat or whatever, that is what it is, right? But obviously we hope the show is good. We think it's going to be good based on the studio that's making it. But the biggest disappointment here is if it doesn't have a lasting impact in Dota, because that's just like talk of a missed opportunity then, right? That is just...
So you're expecting some sort of event slash mini game to be coming out.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now let's transition to our next topic because this ties directly in. Do you think there will be a new player experience of any kind?
Yes. Either. So I think the brilliant way of doing this is doing the both at once so that the event is also has a new player experience element in it. I don't know. So what a lot of people are asking about Dota with tutorial as such, I think making a tutorial for a game that changes as radically as Dota does is difficult. Like you can make a very basic tutorial for the concepts that are always there. And that one can be pretty simple and pretty short. But if you want one that is all encompassing, right? Like think of you would have made a great tutorial 3 years ago. And now somebody starts playing Dota now. Would that tutorial be very useful? Some things would, but a lot of things would be outdated, misleading. They would be missing key concepts.
Okay.
So,
well, let me
I think.
Okay, go ahead. Because I
no. So what I think is, if you want to make a tutorial for Dota, you need to make it around. You need to pique people's interest and feel like they have agency in the game. But the majority of Dota's experience is exploring. So you can't make a tutorial that teaches people the game. It's just impossible. Like the game's too complex. The learning comes from you. So what the tutorial needs to do is make people feel like, I want to learn this game. And that's why I think a tutorial that is story-driven is really good. Because then people get excited about the game. And then they want to try to play it. And even if the story isn't, you know, when you play Dota, you don't really think about the story very much when you're playing a regular game of Dota, right? But sure. If it was to make you interested in trying it out, then that's great. Just like Warcraft 3 has had campaigns, and then... If you think about the total time people have spent in Warcraft, a lot of people got the game and played the campaign, but the vast majority of time they spend in the game is playing custom games or playing regular 2v2, 3v3, whatever, that doesn't really use the story at all. So if that makes sense, then I think that would be a great...
Yeah, so I've talked about this on the podcast in the past for those that have watched and listened from... When was this? Like, this was like pretty early. This might have been 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's a long time.
What I did was, if you guys remember, I pitched an idea to Valve. Okay, so I assembled a team of Slacks, me, and a couple workshop artists.
How could they say no to that?
Slacks, me, a couple workshop modders, and then Buka for like UI related stuff. And we pitched the idea of making a new player experience type tutorial thing. So the idea was very robust. I'm not going to get into every single detail, but it was very story driven. It was based on lore of the actual heroes. And it was kind of like mini game after mini game. So not only would you be attracting newer players to like teach them how to play, like teach them little mechanics here and there, but you'd have like leaderboards and stuff like that for people that play current Dota that would enjoy playing on their, like they could play it while they're like queuing up or something like that. So right. As an example, like you have Slark trying to escape the Dark Rift. That was Slax's idea for the lore, and we just kind of come up with, you have to go here, you have to do this, this is how you do this kind of thing. It's like almost like an RPG-esque type thing. And like you have little mini games here and there where you can, like, let's say you're trying to teach them how cleave works. You have or even like skills, how they work in conjunction. Like, okay, here you have Magnus with all these items. You got to pull off this crazy ass combo, and whoever does it fastest gets higher in the leaderboard. Stuff like that, and you can tie it into Dota Plus. Yes.
Sorry, did you ever play the campaign in Warcraft 3?
Yes.
This Slark escaping Dark Reef, escaping the, was it called Dark Reef Prison or whatever. It really. That idea reminds me so much of a really iconic level in the or iconic map in the Warcraft 3 campaign, where is it Maiev who needs to, there's like this level with Maiev that's so much, it's almost like a puzzle level where you're like trying to find hidden stuff and you're like blinking across platforms and breaking boxes to find items. Do you remember this level?
It's been 20 years. No, I don't remember.
Right. I just, the fact that that stands out to me really, it just, yeah, it just reminded me of that. I was like, that's a really good idea, by the way.
So again, we had full scripts, okay? Just like, we didn't want to do too much. Like, we didn't actually want to make anything. We just wanted to flesh it out as like three different ideas on what we could kind of try to accomplish to make a new player experience both interesting and informative and intuitive for newer players. Mm-hmm. So we pitch, and of course there's like Dota Plus ties in, like stuff like that, so they still get money and all that good stuff. And then we would offer our services to update the thing regularly. Just like, I don't want to say, like, what's the word for, not on retainer, because that's not technically true, but every time mm-hmm. there's an update, like, they just give us a heads up a week before and we just make sure everything's up to date so it doesn't break everything, right? So not really right. that hard to accomplish. Because my whole thought process was that the reason Valve hasn't done a new player experience is because they probably don't think it's worth it for whatever reason, which may or may not mm-hmm. be true based on their analytical approach, which I don't, like, I think they'd look too much at the stats personally, but... And then also, there's no real way to make money from it. And I understand from like a business standpoint that makes sense, but I figure, and they're, you know, they always have issues with like using too many resources, right? Because there's only so many employees at Valve. So I figured outsourcing right. this amongst the community, and they can still, you know, polish it up as they want, would save them a lot of time and money, and they would just pay us to be able to make this thing for newer players. So mm-hmm. we pitched it to Valve, and then they emailed us back saying, "This is very similar to the idea we're doing." And the new player experience that we're trying to do. That was 2 years ago. Then they announced it like a few weeks later, like that they're going to be doing a new player experience or whenever that was. And there's nothing.
That's a year and a half ago, yeah.
So I actually don't think there's a new player experience coming. I genuinely do not think that. Right now, like, I don't know what the resources are being used on right now, because we talked about at the beginning about the anime and how they're not tech, like, they might have put a bunch of money into that, but they're not, I guarantee you, these guys are like coders. They're not real, like, yeah, there's a, what's that, True Sight series. There might be a mm-hmm. couple people from that step, but they're not working on Dota anyway, so it's not like they're taking away from Dota as itself, right? They haven't come out with the team bundles yet. I don't know what they're working on. I genuinely don't think it's a new player experience. So, getting to my point, Sindarin,
mm-hmm.
Slack's made a post about kind of reviving this idea. Except it's going right. to be community funded, okay? Which, I mean, it is what it is. So the only problem is, well, there's a few, but the main one is we can't really pay people. So that's where probably an Indiegogo or a Kickstarter will come from. Second problem is there's only a month. So the idea I just gave ain't going to happen, is what I'm trying to say. But we've been working on kind of a basic version of that, I guess you could say, like something that we could feasibly make in a month. And then the third problem is obviously any custom game issue, which the main one being you have to play 30 games of Dota to play a custom game, which effectively defeats the entire purpose of a new player experience tutorial. So we would have to get Valve to literally...
So you're kind of just hoping that...
Yeah, it's essentially right. comes down to... I feel very strongly that if the community gets behind it, Valve will just flip that switch for this. Like, it doesn't have to be for all custom games. It could just be specifically for ours, as an example.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that would be great. And we're currently working on that with a bunch of modders. And again, I don't want people to get too excited. Not that it's not going to be good, but our original idea was going to be fucking amazing. It's not going to be that. It's not possible. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of the stuff that we wanted to do with, like, leaderboards being... putting in conjunction with the client and Dota Plus, we have no control over that stuff, so we can't do that, right?
Right.
So that is the idea. That is the initiative. We'll see what happens. we'll see if any money is made for the workshop modders and whatnot. And it'll be funny if we come out with it and Valve comes out with their own new player experience afterwards. But it would be a real shame if there's not something, because... Let's look at it from this perspective, Sinner. If people watch the show, mm-hmm. they're like, "Oh, I'm gonna go down. This is free to play. That's cool. I'm gonna download this." What is the first, like, what is a normal person's first reaction to the game when they try to boot it up? When they try to play? Like, I don't even know, like, what you do as a new player. You know?
Well,
like, genuinely, I have
when
no
you,
idea.
The splash screen that you get in the start has a button bottom right that says "Play Dota."
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they're like, "Whoa, that's a lot of stuff here. Oh, I want to play." let's try playing, right? If you ever start any new game, how big a percentage of the people do you think look through the entirety of what the game has to offer, and how many just go and play? I think the majority go and play right away.
Yep.
Don't read all the settings, don't read all the story, the lore, the items, whatever you can see. Most people just want to play.
Yeah.
So I go press play Dota, and then they're offered unranked, and then they go play unranked. And they get fucking smashed by Smurfs.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they don't, but statistically there's a good chance they run into players that are way better than them. But what could be happening is if the hype from this game brings in a lot of new players at once, hopefully the matchmaking algorithm has a much better chance of generating complete newbie games, like where nobody knows what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
And I hope Purge casts that and makes a series out of it. That would be interesting. The Dragon's Blood series, where you're just watching people standing in fountain just in awe of what's happening. I have no fucking clue what to do. But anyway, like, that is what the majority, in my opinion, or my expectation is. Most new players, they go press play and they play. And then you have about, I want to say, 1 hour to get them interested in the game. If the first hour sucks, they're going to go play something else, most of them, unless they have friends that play the game that are telling them to stay, right?
Yep.
So that's where that first hour should really be an event. A good event that's interesting and exciting and ties in with the story.
So you want the event to be, it can't be skill-based then, right?
It doesn't have to if it's single player, right?
Oh, so you want a single player event, okay.
For example, like, it could be, think of this. When I think back on Warcraft 3, right? I know I'm referencing this again, but I think it's the most common ground we have, also with the viewers and listeners to this. So the campaign that came out with the Frozen Throne, the bonus campaign with Rexxar and, was it Rexxar and Vol'jin you were playing? Was it those two? I think so.
Don't remember.
That campaign was fucking amazing. It was probably my favorite campaign of the game.
How do you remember this?
What's that bonus side campaign? If they did something like that with two or three characters from Dota, where you play those characters, you level up their spells, you level up, you find items. Dota's, a lot of the settings in the game are really suitable for an RPG. We already have neutral item drops. Perfect, you know? go find some neutral items, go find some items, equip your hero, level up. Go complete a story where you need to beat a boss as whatever. Could be Dragon Knight, could be Mirana. There could be like three episodes, three chapters you need to play through. Then you know three heroes. And now you go and play Dota, and you can select one of these three heroes, and you know how their spells work. That's already, you know, a pretty big step. And then maybe it's a bot game. Obviously, if you're playing with 10 people, you can't all play Mirana and Dragon Knight unless they make some sort of a weird mirror match thingy. But you get the idea, right?
Yeah, no, I think that would be good.
I think that's a great way to start, because throwing people into multiplayer as the tutorial, they're going to get overwhelmed. It needs to be at your own pace. It needs to be simple. And it needs to feel like, it needs to give a representation of what it is like to play your character in the game without showing you all the complexities of the game, because that's just insane, right?
Yeah, so for
that's kind of what they did with the original tutorial, if you remember that one, where you were playing, like, was DK Sniper something.
I mean, that was
just like
very,
mega short. There was no story. It was literally just here are some mechanics that were having you test good luck in Dota, right?
Yeah. So again, you, like, could take that for the tutorial that we're making, we wanted to do a lot more, but with a month, it's very restricted. So the idea right now is to transport them into a regular Dota map. Just nothing has changed, because I think this is actually Slax's idea. It's very important that they actually just see what the map looks like. And you introduce these two characters, me and Slax, of course, as the narrators that are like the yin and the yang, you know, above the shoulder kind of thing, dialogue box. And we're just having them walk through certain areas, talk to them about basic mechanics. They have to actually do stuff in order to get to the next stage, as it were. And just going through that in a pretty basic manner, trying to make, you know, little fun things here and there. Like, it's not going to be, again, like we wanted originally. And then from there, we hope that that's enough for them to play, like, against, like, we just, it turns into a bot game versus bots, essentially. So it's like for the time period that we have, I think that's the best way to go about it. So that's the idea right now. And we'll see. But yeah, I agree. Valve, hopefully comes out with something that will spice things up. I mean, do you think there's any chance that they do literally nothing? The show just comes out and nothing changes?
Imagine that, actually. Let's imagine that for a second, what the community would think about that.
This would be an interesting thought
experiment. I mean, is there a chance?
Experiment?
I mean, probably. I think it's way less likely that they do nothing than that they do something big, actually. But maybe the most likely is somewhere in between, right? Just statistically speaking.
I don't know how jaded I am. I'm expecting nothing. I'm genuinely expecting nothing.
You had me thinking a little bit with the whole single player tutorial, though, because I think maybe there is a way, like the thing I talked about with the event, where if you have an event where you can play with friends as the first thing when you boot up Dota, if you think about something like Auto Chess, just as an example of a game that you can jump into and try to play and isn't, like, at the highest level is pretty complex with other stuff you can do, but the basics aren't that hard. Maybe you could make an event map where an experienced player can play with a beginner because they're playing together. Again, think of an RPG quest kind of thing. You're each playing a character. One player plays Davion, the other one plays Mirana. Mm-hmm. And you have to get through this two-player RPG as a tutorial kind of thing. But the RPG itself is just fun. Like, countless. Again, Warcraft 3 custom games you could play. The first custom map I ever played in Warcraft 3 was a part of the game called War Chasers. It was a four-player map where you each picked from, I think, 25 characters or something in the start. And then it was literally just RPGs where you would level up, get through rooms, grow stronger, find items. It's kind of standard stuff. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think you need to reinvent the wheel. You just need people to get interested in the game and the characters.
You know what would be cool? If I don't know if this will overwhelm people. What if you came out with like all these past events at the same time? Just old ones you've already done, because new players haven't seen any of them. And they get a chance to play like all these cool mini games. Like that's kind of a neat idea. I mean, it's not Dota necessarily, but you already have the assets. Like, why not just reuse it? I would be fine with that.
There's definitely some things I think you could recycle or either make part of it.
We are 57 minutes in right now, and we have like 10 more topics. Let's go through these a little bit faster. This was just, you know, Dota Dragon's Blood and the new player experience. Those are like major, major things. So it's understandable. Right. I put this in.
Now it's time for your rant.
Yeah, this is my rant. So I abandoned a Dota 2 game on purpose on stream in front of 400 viewers for the first time in my entire life purposefully. So throughout Dota 1, Dota 2, that's 15 plus years. I have never abandoned on purpose before. Not one time ever. Anytime it's been an abandon is because my internet goes out or power goes out, something like that. Force majeure, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
I abandoned for the first time ever because of Smurfs, Sindarin.
Do you regret it?
No. I looked back. I'm like, my God, that was actually a great decision. I saved myself literally 40 minutes of misery. So I played this game, and this is not like an anomaly. This happens all the time. Against a ridiculously, obviously high-level Smurf. He was playing Meepo, of course, as one of the many heroes that pub stomps. He had a level 40 account, and he was obviously like immortal plus in my fucking games. So we play it, we lose. Like, okay, that I was complaining the whole time. As you know, I like to complain. And then we queue up again, and lo and behold, we get the same motherfucker on the other team somehow. The same motherfucker, and he picks Arc Warden, which you may or may not know this, is my least favorite hero to play against now. And I'm like, okay, that's it for me. Until next time, friends. So that is the smurfing issue is a joke. Absolute fucking joke. It's so, and the thing that makes me most upset about it is I can't even report them for it. There's nothing to, like, how do I report that shit? There's nothing to be done about it. There's no Overwatch case. And again, talked about this before. I don't expect it to, I understand why it's not an Overwatch case, because like if somebody gets sent that, it's kind of subjective what a Smurf is or a Smurf isn't. But holy Jesus. Like, new players coming in. We talked about how there's so many hurdles. The Smurfs are just rampant. It's ridiculous. So that's my rant. I feel, you know, I expect the first time I ever pick techies in somewhere in the future will feel the same. I feel sullied.
Then you're also going to feel like abandoning.
I don't feel innocent anymore. I feel tainted. But I had to do it. So that's my rant.
So Now that you've experienced this a little bit more, because we've talked about the smurfing problem before on the podcast, does that change anything about you, what you think is the best approach to combating it, or what the solution should be?
What did we discuss again? I don't even remember.
I mean, I still have the same opinion that I used to, which is that the solution has to come from an automated system that detects them. I think that's the only really good solution you can implement in a game that's free to play, is that the game needs to detect that the players are out of their range. And
I agree. And I don't like
the
for
good thing
this
is,
game in
if
particular.
Players start trying to combat that by playing poorly on purpose, well, then they're not smurfing actually, right? Then they're just playing the level of the game or worse. And then they're not ruining anything. Except if they play like garbage on purpose and they just grief, but then you can report them for griefing. So
right. But
in theory,
sharing.
If the detection system is good enough with finding out roughly where people are placed in terms of skill while they unlock the account to play ranked, it could place them relatively correctly from the start. And you don't even... So here's the challenge, right? This was the thing you talked about with Valorant that did something horrible with the ranking system, right? Where people were... To give a little bit of preface on this, there were players that were in the highest of high ranks and players that were in the second highest division or whatever who were way better, but whose climbing was so hard because the system detected how good they were but didn't adjust their MMR, but just the hidden MMR of what players they would face. So all the pros would face each other in that second division because they were really fucking good, and getting a win rate of 55 is really hard if you're playing against other pros. And then a lot of these other players that had just organically climbed without being mega good would be in the top division, right?
Yeah.
Is that a relatively good representation of what you said?
Yeah. The pros were playing the pros, and the shitties were playing the shitties, and the shitties were able to get up to the highest level because they weren't playing the pros to actually get there. Yeah.
Exactly. There has to be some sort of way to, let's say I made a smurf and I start playing and it detects that I am whatever. Let's say it detects I'm 8K. Then when I queue into ranked, what do you think my MMR should be on this account?
I have no idea.
Like, if you put me in games with 8K players, then the system should expect me to have an average win rate of about 50, right?
Yeah. Oh,
so does it just rate. Give me my MMR then? It's like, we have detected you're an 8K player on this Smurf account. You are now 8K. Good luck.
I think there's a certain limit that you can give, I think, right? You don't want to go too
then people
high. 8K
can
seems
just
really high.
The problem with that is the really good players that are there could just make 8K accounts and then throw them away, sell them.
I don't know
give
if
them to other people.
Yeah. So selling accounts is one thing. I feel like that is an easy thing to actually solve if you just go on the websites that are blatantly advertising that they're boosting and selling accounts. That's very easy. Like, I feel like a majority of them are there for the picking. Just pick your litter, just destroy them, do whatever you want. Nobody's doing anything about that. But yeah, like for this, just as an example, these games with like level 40 account, you should not be able to get 25 kills with fucking Meepo as a 40 account. 40 is actually really low. So like that in and of itself is enough statistics for me to understand that this guy is a smurf. Boost him the fuck up, you know?
Right. I completely understand that. But what do you want to do concretely? Do you want to place him in the MMR he is, or do you want to place him in the games he's skilled enough for, but give him a low MMR? Because then that smurf will never get to its potential, right? If you're a 5K player, or rather, you're an 8K player on a 5K account, constantly playing 8K games, then your road to getting to 8K is insanely long from there. Is that maybe that's not a problem? It's a smurf, so it's okay that you just
maybe that's
fine.
I'm just gonna say this one time. A lot of times I will express my opinion about something and how I think I would fix it. For something like this, and we've said it before, I really don't know what you can do, but I also I don't have the analytics and stats that a billion-dollar company has to be able to make that decision. Like,
right.
I'm not the one that's supposed to make this fucking solution. It's just, I just know it's an issue, and I'm complaining about it. So, it is what it is. Okay, next thing. this one's really quick. I want to thank Calais for posting this. Oh, wait, sorry. I'll do this one first anyway. There's been a name change for a couple players. Epileptic Kid is now Nightfall, and Ilias is now Kingslayer. I'm not sure where Nightfall is from. I'm sure that is something else as well, but Kingslayer is a book, Sindarin. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite books, actually. So they have changed their name. So I guess congratulations to them. It's just a small little thing that happened in the last couple of weeks.
And, maybe. Mm-hmm. Do you think this was something the org requested?
Why would they? Why?
I don't know. Maybe they thought Epileptic Kid was a bad nickname for some reason. Like, maybe that's like...
Okay, what's wrong with Ilias? What does that mean?
I don't know. Maybe that means something in another language that is inappropriate or whatever. Like, I don't think so, but... It was just something I thought when I saw this. I was like, I wonder if this is something the org might have asked for, because from a sponsorship perspective, maybe it doesn't look that good with one of your players is called Epileptic Kid.
I always liked like a little bit of a personally. It was a cool name to cast. I always liked that name.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just a thing.
Yeah, so that's for Team VP, for those that don't know.
Oh, so I'm being told Ilias is actually his name. So if that's just his first name, maybe he wanted an actual nickname.
I'm sorry, we're going to have to ban you from using your name. That's just too much private information for everyone.
Your parents fucked up. Rename.
So right. Anyway.
Okay.
7.28C was released, Sindarin. Just minor nerfs to a few heroes. Anything of note here for you? Like, the main thing for me is Ricky. I still think he's really good, and they implemented one of the changes that I actually predicted and was hoping for, where Tricks of the Trade no longer, or the Scepter no longer increases duration. So that is the old Ags benefit taken away, and they kept the newer stuff in. So I think overall, still with everything combined, compared to his old Ags, still better. It's still good. And his 25 talent, again, minus 2 second or plus 2 seconds to the cooldown reduction. So basically no more infinite Tricks of the Trade, which... was the main issue with the hero.
I feel like it's a really long time since we've had a patch that was only nerfs. This is literally only nerfs. Everything is just a nerf.
Mm.
So you know me. I've talked about that in the podcast multiple times. I love patches like this because I think that is what... First of all, it's a better solution, in my opinion, to nerf heroes a lot than buff the others for power creep reasons. Though if heroes are too powerful, I would prefer that they get nerfed rather than a set of other heroes getting buffed to compete. Mm. And it also just shows, like, I think all of the nerfs here are on the right heroes for the right reasons. So it is a good patch. Whether it's the perfect solutions or not, and whether some heroes are under nerfed or whatever, is a different story. But the right aspects of the right heroes, I think, are being addressed for the most part, at least. So
did anything...
it's solid.
Anything of like the other ones, Vendetta from Nyx no longer breaks, so there's a lot less breaks in the game now. And
it's kind of a weird mechanic to begin with, I think.
That I think it was fine.
Vendetta had that.
I think I guess either way, the hero is like first pick, first ban in like every game for NA at least. But Earthshaker Fissure
is one hero
the biggest
not here that I wanted here, and that's Enigma. I think that hero should get a nerf, but that's kind of the only one I think is missing from this list.
So the one that I thought was most broken, and so I'm not even remotely surprised, was nerfed is the Shard for Shaker. Now stuns for half
that
duration.
That one was wild.
I actually think the Shard is not good now. I think you just get other stuff now, personally. But we'll see what pros do.
I think it's still good.
So anything else from this that you want to talk about? 50% less damage to creeps from Sticky Napalm. That's pretty fucking giant nerf for Batrider, by the way. Huge.
Yeah, that was only on Ancients. Now it's on all creeps. Yeah. I think that might be too much. We'll see. I think it should have maybe been 33%. Because this is like a really fucking big nerf overall. I wonder if you look through Batrider's history in the last like 5 years, how many buffs and how many nerfs he has got, just
it's
numerically.
Like
it's probably got like five times as many nerfs as buffs.
Feels like a Darkseer type here that's just always, always
good. God, how many times has Bat got nerfed? It's so funny.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll see. Again, I think that was the problem that Batrider was facing right now, is that the aspects of how the hero kills heroes early was nerfed, but his farming was wild and it was too good. People would show up with Travels BKB minute 15 and just destroy team fights. And this is obviously just a direct nerf to farming speed. So I think it's the right way to do it. Maybe the number's too high.
Okay, so that was 7.28C. Next on the list is the DPC, and we're close to the end, Cinder. So next week we'll be able to talk about the final results. I'll quickly talk about NA, which is very interesting. So Quincy Crew and EG were both undefeated, and they faced each other for the Battle of the Best, and Quincy Crew won 2-1 in pretty convincing fashion. Quincy Crew looks mega legit, by the way. I think EG still probably needs a little bit more time together, but I legit think Quincy Crew will be top 8 at the major. They're that good. They're really, really good. And Team Undying is now, it looks like the last match of the entire NADPC is Quincy Crew versus Undying. Undying is Moon Meander's team, and they are 5-1. EG is 5-1, and Quincy Crew are 6-0. So there's a potential for a three-way tie here. If EG is going to win their last match, no offense to 5-man Midas, who have yet to win a match. So the Undying versus Quincy Crew. If Undying can win, it's a three-way tie, and it gets really interesting. If not, then it's just Quincy Crew first, EG second to the major. So those are the updates from NA. What do you got from EU, big boy?
Well, let me see where I want to start. Wait, hang on. Let me just actually find the standings. Okay, there we go. So to absolutely nobody's surprise, Secret hasn't lost, and they're guaranteed first because they're 6-0. They have one series left out of the seven they play, and every other team in the division has two losses or more, so nobody can catch up. So now the exciting thing is how the remaining placements go. So obviously that means Secret is secured 500 DPC points and a seed into the major playoffs, and now the second spot gets to the group stage, and the third and fourth get to the wild card. So getting second is really important. And if Alliance win their next series, they're done. Then they're second. If Liquid beats them, Liquid and Alliance are tied, so they might have to play again. And then we also have Nigma versus High Coast. High Coast have won one series, and they're 1-5. They're mathematically eliminated. Nigma is likely to win that, which would also put them on 4-3. So if Alliance lose to Liquid, and Nigma win against High Coast, and then finally OG wins against Secret, who have nothing to play for, which could definitely happen. We could have a four-way tie for second. Which would be pretty crazy, right?
If you're Secret, I think you're still tryharding, if I'm being honest, because the major's not for a while. You still have a lot of time, so there's no reason.
Of course, I mean, I'm not saying they're going to just throw away the game, right? But they might, from their perspective, it depends how you want to think about it, right? Because they know they're through, so they can have some creative strategies where they're still trying their best to win, but they want to try out some heroes or some ideas that Puppy has.
Right.
Or they just play their normal stuff and they just want to destroy everyone and make a statement. And then it's also about, like, if they want to be, like, really strategic, that's one of the big weaknesses of a round robin format, is that they can kind of control some team's destiny. If they're good enough to beat them, then they can, you know, make sure to knock out the strong competition. If they're like, OG is our biggest problem, so we really want to beat them here so they have a higher chance of getting knocked out, because they need to win more series, right? There's actually a possibility right now. I mean, that's the other story here. One of the following four teams will not make the major. Alliance, Liquid, Nigma, and OG. One of them doesn't make it. So that's also pretty exciting story, right? One of these five teams doesn't go.
The other storyline is that Viking, although they're bottom two right now, so they're going to get relegated to Division Two. And the big, it's not really news, but there's obviously a lot of pushback from even the players that won against them. I believe, who was it? It was Fata, I believe, was saying this on stream.
Yeah.
How he feels really bad for them because, now, correct me if I'm wrong, is there no way for them to get to TI? Like, is there no open qualifier for TI?
Oh, maybe. With the current announcement of how TI works, hasn't been a qualifier announced, right? So to give people a little bit of understanding here, so right now, the way you get to TI is with DPC points. The vast majority of DPC points are in the majors, and some of them are in the divisions. The bottom two of Division 1, which is where you get to go to the major and get the big points, the bottom two get relegated to Division 2. They don't even play against the top two from Division 2 to see who gets to stay. They're just going down, and top two from Division 2 go up. So that means Viking might be the seventh best team in Europe, but they don't get to play in the top eight because they get relegated down. And the teams that they could have faced for a relegation series that they might just be flat out better than automatically go up. And that means since we have two seasons of majors leading into TI, they had their chance in the first one, they didn't make it. And then the second one, they never even get to try because they get relegated down. And now two other teams get a chance to go to TI.
What do you think about the idea of the bottom two of the upper play the top two of the lower to decide who goes upper? Do you like that idea? Like it could be a round robin, it could be a GSL format, whatever the case may be.
Something like that, or maybe even just have more teams in the second round. So the two teams from Division 2 move up to Division 1 and nobody moves down. That's another solution, right? You could also do it that way.
Either way, feel really bad for Viking because they're one of the they don't have like the flashy names, but we've cast a lot of them in the past. We've talked about this in the past as well. It's just a feel good team, a feel good story because they've been together for so long and they're continually improving, and it feels like they just got fucked, kind of, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like this is the hardest region by far. I guess China is kind of unknown
for sure
to me, but
no, it is the hardest.
EU is really, really hard. So feels pretty bad. Okay. Any of the other regions we want to talk about? Or do you want to wait till next week? We're really going late. So maybe we'll just wait.
This is a long episode. So maybe we should just catch up on DPC next week. There won't be as much stuff as this one.
That'll be the end. Okay. So the next topics are quite quick. And it's been 2 weeks for this one because we had Jenkins on the last episode. Twitch, PogChamp is now Komodo hype, apparently. I know a lot about emotes. So if you guys don't remember, the original PogChamp was removed because the guy is fucking crazy as shit that the picture is of. And at first they had a new emote every day based on streamers. And I guess they had some sort of vote. And the winner ended up being Komodo hype, which I personally love. That is a Komodo dragon. They're very cuddly. I don't know if they actually are cuddly, but the way that his mouth is opening looks very cute. I like it a lot, Sinner. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's good. Honestly, I kind of like the thing that they had going, and I don't know if they needed to stop that for any reason. I kind of like the uniqueness of a new PogChamp every day, and I think they could have just kept going with that forever, because how many streamers on Twitch wouldn't want their face to be PogChamp for a day? Honestly, to me, this is, if you had to pick one, this is probably the pick from the pool that you had. But I guess they just didn't want to manage it, getting a new PogChamp every day. So they were just like, okay, that was a fun event. Let's move on, do something else.
Fair enough.
But that kind of thing, I actually really liked that event. That felt very community-centric, that different streamers got to have their face
maybe
on PogChamp.
Maybe it was kind of annoying to upkeep for Twitch. I have no idea. Like, they have somebody dedicated to changing every day. I'm sure they could have made something automated, but I mean,
yeah, probably.
I think the current PogChamp, I like it. So not that I'm a huge emote guy to begin with, but I like it, Sindarin. Okay, next thing, this story. Oh my God, this story is good. Okay. So BlizzCon occurred, and Metallica, who has been on BlizzCon many a time, were performing, and the music over the official Blizzard channel and all the Twitch co-stream channels was it was muted, essentially, and replaced by 8-bit music to avoid DMCA. That is hilarious. Even on the official Twitch channel, they put 8-bit music over Metallica, even though, obviously, BlizzCon had the rights to use it. That not only is that hilarious just because of the Twitch DMCA problems that they've had in the past, but Metallica being the one is so... I love Metallica in terms of like music. For those that don't remember, because I'm fucking old, Napster, when it first came out 20 years ago, was an app that allowed you... I say app. It was an application on your computer desktop that you used to download music. It was like the first of its kind. It was a huge deal back then, and Metallica is one of the big reasons that it got shut down, because of Lars Ulrich not appreciating it very much. And he's basically had a terrible reputation since. But it's just hilarious that it ends up being Metallica of all the bands. But what are your thoughts on this, Sinner? Because that's pretty good.
I mean, 8-bit music can be really good. I like a lot of 8-bit music. So depending on which Metallica songs were played, it might have been an improvement from Twitch. They might just have had really... You know, they had somebody there doing quality control, and they were like, from Twitch's perspective, we think we can improve these songs, and this is how we're going to do it.
Did they not address this?
The same.
I should have looked this up. We had so much on this podcast. Did they never address what happened? Because that would be even the most hilarious aspect of it.
I don't fucking know.
They just never assess what happened.
It's just, like, eh. I can't help but say with a smirk on my face, it's just so fucking funny. Like, it's just so, it's funny and sad at the same time, but I choose to take the funny perspective on this that, like, it's just hilarious that it comes to this, that you can even have your own event where you have paid a band to play and it still gets fucking blocked on Twitch, even though you have the band's explicit permission to broadcast it. Like, that is just, it's just fucking, it's fucking funny. Like, what can I say?
The funny thing is, I'm sure Metallica was like, man, not this shit again. We actually don't care this time. Like, come on.
Like, I really hope, and maybe this is naive, but I hope that over the next decade, the music industry catches up a little bit to, because I really want to call it catching up, because I just feel like it's out of touch with what is happening in the population, or they genuinely have data and reasons that suggest that this is the way to handle it to maximize profit. We've talked about this in an episode a long time ago with when people started getting DMCA'd on Twitch for playing music. It's just, to me, it's just so archaic and so out of touch with the community and the audience that you have on Twitch. Like, it just, it feels like 70-year-old people making decisions for 20-year-olds. That's generally, that's genuinely how I feel about it.
You mean, like, it sounds like government to you, Cinder? Is that what you're trying to say?
Not necessarily.
Well, in the U.S. at least, it's just old people deciding stuff for young people. That's just how it works.
I mean, it's more like, it's different, right? Because in government, you vote for people. Here, you don't really have a voice, right? I mean, you do, but then you get DMCA'd, and then you don't.
You do have a choice. You can stream on Mixer. Oh wait, you can stream on Facebook. Oh, not really.
Well,
it's kind of a monopoly.
It's yeah.
Agreed. Okay, next topic. Mortal Kombat the movie. I saw the trailer. It comes out April 16th. First of all, I don't know why I'm even fucking asking you this question.
Have I seen the trailer?
Have you seen the original Mortal Kombat from back in the day?
No.
Okay, so the original Mortal Kombat, like, even back then, I'm like, this is
actually
not a good...
I can add something to this compared to In Bruges. That's going to blow your mind. I didn't even know there was a movie until now.
Okay, so back to what I was saying. The original Mortal Kombat that came out back in whenever the hell that was objectively just not a good movie, like, had some cheesy parts, but I still loved it, and it was, I don't know if it's considered a cult classic, but I know a lot of people liked it, even though they knew it was bad. It was one of those types of movies. And I think it was like PG-13, so it wasn't anything crazy. Then they came out with a sequel, which I may have seen, but it might be the worst movie of all time. Not sure, it's just up there. So they are recreating the original Mortal Kombat, April 16th, rated, okay, it's actually not rated, it's definitely rated R, which makes me so happy. There's so much blood and gore and guts. Not that I'm a violent person at all, but it feels, okay, let me put it this way. I know I'm going to upset a lot of people. Marvel movies. I cannot stand Marvel movies because they are so pandered to, it's just, okay, even worse. I'll make it even worse case here, or better case in my case here. Disney Plus. Every single content piece on that platform is fucking garbage because it's all PG. Like, I cannot get into something that is a PG show or movie. It just doesn't feel realistic. It doesn't click with me. Like,
that's
Marvel.
Good for you that the Dragon's Blood trailer was the way it was then.
Yes. I mean, I would have loved it anyway, let's be real. But for Marvel, like, Logan, Deadpool, those are amazing. They're both rated R. They have so much more freedom. This trailer for Mortal Kombat gets me so fucking excited. You actually see people's heads get ripped off, fatalities, Sindarin. I am excited. Again, not a violent person, Sindarin, but no. I enjoy violence. No. I enjoy watching it when it's a movie or a TV show. I don't like MMA and boxing. Just throwing it out there. What were your thoughts on this trailer if you even watched it?
I just skimmed through it. I mean, it doesn't really...
You skimmed
through it. Is this the actual
it's
trailer?
It's 2 minutes. How do you not spend 2 minutes researching a topic?
Is it a trailer or a teaser trailer?
It's a trailer.
This is the actual trailer.
Yeah. It's 2 minutes and 30 seconds. A teaser is like 10 seconds.
Well, the teaser trailer for Dragon's Blood was like a minute, right?
That's... Okay, that's not a real teaser, though. An actual teaser is short. Trailers are like a minute and a half to 2 minutes.
I mean, my first thought just watching this is that it looks like what you said. First of all, it looks really good. I think the shots look very, very nice. The characters. I don't know very much about Mortal Kombat. I think I've played very, very little. And like I said, I didn't watch the first movie, but I mean, it looks solid. It's not something that gets me super hyped because I don't really know the story very much and the universe, like I said.
Usually I would make fun of you, but I actually understand, like, you just were never into Mortal Kombat as a kid, right? I assume that's the case.
Right. So to me, it looks like
Fair enough.
A lot of other movies of this type, but I think if you're into Mortal Kombat and the universe, you're really excited for that. But there's nothing when I watch that this makes it really stand out. I'm like, holy shit, this is so different from other movies of this kind. You know what I mean?
It is different because it's a video game based movie that's rated R.
Right.
That is different in and of itself. Which, again, there's no technical rating yet, but I promise you it's rated R.
I mean, of course.
And for me, like growing up as a kid, Mortal Kombat was just an amazing game. Like, I played all of them. They were so good. I don't really like the newer fighting games very much personally because they're just too complicated for an old boomer like me. But yeah, I am genuinely excited. I'm going to be usually I have low expectations for video game based movies, but I hope I'm not disappointed with this one. Excited.
Do you think the characters, so it sounds like you know Mortal Kombat very well. Do you think they've chosen good actors to represent the characters?
I think so. I mean, again, we're comparing to the original Mortal Kombat that had a literal fucking white guy as Raiden when that guy's obviously Asian and the actor itself was horrible, like comically bad, like fucking terrible. So yeah, they've improved things quite a bit. I mean, again, the original Mortal Kombat was like very cheesy and kind of intended to be cheesy. Mm-hmm. This one looks very serious. And there's no big name actors in it that I remember. But yeah, they have a cool twist of like, because Scorpion and Sub-Zero, you've at least heard of, I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
They're like these
Isn't
ninja...
Raiden in this trailer as well?
Yeah, and he's Asian.
Yeah, I mean, I recognize quite a lot of the characters, actually, but I don't think I've ever played.
Okay,
I've just
well,
watched
anyway,
a little bit, I guess.
Like Scorpion and Sub-Zero, again, I'm not super into the recent lore of Mortal Kombat or anything, but they're always just these ninja guys behind masks. And this one, they show that they're human beings that turn into that somehow. So that's kind of a cool aspect that I've never seen before. So looking forward to that. Okay. Last topic of this evening is Mars Perseverance. I didn't get to watch this live, but NASA probably going to sound like a goddamn idiot. I assume it's NASA sent another robot type thing into Mars atmosphere and landed
into Mars
and
straight into the core.
I'm going to read basically the summary here from Nikki's brother, who has general information about it because he's filling me in on stuff that I wasn't, even though this fascinates me. It landed safely on Mars. There's a clip of it on Twitter, which I watched, by the way. It's actually super high quality. Very cool. The goal of this mission is to find signs of life. It has a small helicopter on it called Ingenuity, and they're going to test that to fly for like 90 seconds sometime in the coming weeks. The way it collects samples are pretty cool as it digs hole in Mars, puts in the big vial capsule-looking thing, and then a future mission called MSR, Mars Sample Return, where we're supposed to pick it up and send it back to Earth. And then the difference between the one that happened, you know, how many years ago was that? This one is looking for life. The other one was looking for water, essentially. So, I mean, it's very fascinating.
What
very
do
cool.
you think someone would pay for sand from Mars?
Probably a lot.
What do you think that would auction for? If this flew back and they were like, oh, well, guys, it's just fucking sand. And then they keep a sample of it, obviously, for historical reasons. And then they sell the rest. How much would people pay for, like, a little vial of the sand from
Mars? It's all about supply and demand, Sundaran. Like, how much are we talking
that's
here?
That's fucking...
If you have enough
Do you think
for
it could
one...
go for billions?
Yes, I actually... billions. Probably not billions, no.
No?
But if you have just a very small amount to sell, then... obviously, the price will skyrocket. Billions? I doubt it. I doubt billions.
Damn. I am very...
The reason that it's a bad investment is because you're going to end up getting more... Like, we're going to go back. Like, that obviously is the next step in our chapter as a human race. So well, your NASA valley can only go down.
NASA needs to cover their
that.
Costs, right? They paid billions to get up there, and they're just going to find fucking sand.
Aren't
That's
they
a
government
pretty bad
funded?
Return on investment.
Pretty sure they're government funded.
It's like
I'm making, that
making
up
a video game and then not advertising it to an audience, and then nobody plays it. That's also bad
that,
investment.
That's not the same, because we saw Mars
it's not.
Rover, no. You know? Okay. So that brings us to the end of the episode. We're not going to do any Patreon questions. We have two that we have lined up for next week because we've gone way over time. Again, remember, friends, subscribe to the new We Say Things YouTube channel, youtube.com/WeSayThings. Link will be in the description. This will be the last episode on Dota Cinema ever because this show is literally killing my channel. Syndrome is literally
You're
killing
welcome.
Dota Cinema. So, okay, that brings us to the end of this.
Sorry. Sinner,
would you like to say anything? You seem
subscribe
to
the new channel. Subscribe.
Subscribe.
Do it now.
All right. Yeah. Until next week, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us as always. Until next time, Suns fan Sinner, signing out. Goodbye.
We say things that don't mean anything.
Subscribe.
But thanks for listening. Yeah.